Would you like to have success? I got a perfect formula from the Word of God for success. Are you going to be successful? From old Paul's writing, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Formula for success. Everybody wants to have success. God's way. We need it God's way. True success. You know what? That's just to lay a hold on what God or which God has laid a hold already for us. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? That's simple. The verse of Scripture tonight, chapter 3 and verse 10 and on down to 14. Paul says that I may know him. Now, Paul was in prison this time, and he was a kind of an elderly man when he was penning these scriptures. Paul had been through a lot in his life, been shipwrecked. He had been beaten and stoned in the Mediterranean sun. He was just really in physical. He was just a wore-out old man just about it. But you know what? He was still running swift in the spirit. And that's what he says. You know, the old man outside might perish, but the inner man grows from day to day and gets stronger and stronger. That's the way it is with old Paul. Now, he's old. He's still fighting. That I may know him, he said, after all Paul has done, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity tonight that we can offer up prayers for these, Lord, that's on our sick list and our minds and hearts and our prayer boxes, and for the opportunity we have just to pray and praise you and just thank you, Lord, for the goodness and the mercy each day, Lord, that you shine upon us. And we thank you, Lord, for all that goodness. Father, for those so much less fortunate than us tonight, there's so many people around our community, our country, and our family, Lord, that certainly needs our prayers. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being the loving God that you are. Father, here this night, we just pray that you might overshadow this service tonight with your presence. Father, truly open up our heart, Lord, that we might understand the things you have us to understand through the Spirit and through thy word. For all these blessings we ask in the precious and the holy name of Jesus. And amen. The goal, Paul says, not that I have, but I am trying and keep on going. That I might know him, is what he's saying. That I might know him. If I was to ask you some three very personal questions, would you be honest with God as I ask you these questions? Number one, if you get where you are headed now, is where you're headed, where will you be when you get there? When you get to where you go into now, where will you be when you get there? Because we all headed somewhere. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know we all headed somewhere? Number two, if you accomplish the goal of your life, what will you have when you get them? If you accomplish all these goals that you got, what will you have when you accomplish these goals? Now, you see, it would be your car, your houses, or more money, or CDs, or whatever you might have. But the third one is this life that you are now living worth the death that Jesus Christ died for you? The life you're living, your goals in this life, what you hope to accomplish, is it worth the death of Jesus Christ? And you think about that and you talk to God about what he's talking to you about. John 10 and 10 says, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He was speaking to those people that's living like you and I here tonight. They was breathing. They had breath. He said, but I said, I've come that you might have life. Are any of y'all dead tonight? Jesus Christ said, I come that you may have life. There's already breathing, walking around like you and I are tonight. But I've come that you might have life. Not only that you might have it more abundantly. Now, if we was to try to explain this in the physical realm instead of the spiritual realm, because he's talking about spiritually because he knew that people was already alive. But physically, that means, you know, if you really take good care of your body, if you take good care of this body, you know, it may not make you live longer, but it'll make you enjoy it better, and you'll have a good quality of life longer. It may not make you live longer, but if we are to take care of these bodies as we should take care of these bodies, it may not make you live longer, but you see, you might be able to live it more abundantly. That our pain and suffering that we bring on ourselves a lot of times, the way we treat these bodies. You know, old boy told me one time, he got older, he says, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd take better care of myself. You know what I'm talking about? We probably all would if we lived any age, and that's what Paul says here, that this physical life and spiritual life, now, he said, this spiritual life, I come that you might have it, this life more abundantly. Take care of this spiritual life, and you know what? You'll enjoy it a whole lot better. This sanctified ambition that we have, and it's not worldly ambition Paul's talking about, and he's talking about this sanctified ambition. These five factors may lay it on your heart tonight and help you as we get our mind in tune for the ministry that God has given you, a farmer for this success. And first thing is, relationship is more important than the accomplishments. Now, we hope that we accomplish a lot of things in life, and we should have goals, and we hope that we accomplish them, but the relationship, really, we should say with Jesus Christ is more important than the accomplishment that we may make. Paul says there, that I may know him. Now, this was a goal of Paul's life. As I said, this old missionary man wrote maybe two-thirds of the New Testament. And old Paul, you know, that was his personal goal in life, that I might know him personally. You'd think somebody like old Paul would know him pretty good. He met him on the road to Damascus, did he not? But you see, after Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, Paul was continuously knowing him better and better and better and better and better, more and more and more and more. Isn't that the way he tells us that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It seems awful simple to us, don't it? And that's not just know about him, as a lot of times we get figures and, get all these knowledge about him. You know, people can come, they can come in Sunday school and, you know, sit in Sunday school and church and just learn and learn about him. And not really, really know him or much about him. And that's a lot of people guilty today, just requiring information about Jesus. Requiring information about the Bible, but know him because he is the man of the Bible. These four ways that we might know him, Paul says very personally. To know him very personally. That was one of Paul's, he wanted that more than anything else, to know him very personally. Now, he'd already met him now, you know, on the road to Damascus, but he wanted to keep knowing him. You see, you know, it's impossible to know someone intimately without spending time with them and that individual. Y'all know that? You can't know anybody very intimate unless you spend time with them. You got to do that. Y'all remember whenever y'all was dating? Y'all remember back when y'all was dating? I barely can remember back whenever me and Joyce was dating. Just barely, barely can. I've been married all my life since about that high. You know, to me, you know, it weren't too much to me, though. But when I go tell her I had to go, I had to chuck her off of me like a bulldog. But me, it weren't that much problem. But you know what? You just couldn't get enough of them, could you? I mean, you couldn't see them enough. You couldn't be around them enough. You want to see them more and more and more and more when you're dating. You know how it is? Y'all do like this. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, because you want to know them better, did you not? That's the same way it is Jesus Christ. Who's Paul talking about here? You really want to know Jesus Christ better, intimate like you did your wife and your husbands? You know what you got to do? You got to spend time with him. You got to spend time with that person. And Jesus Christ is a person. We need to spend time with him. Many don't want to really know Jesus Christ very much because they don't want to spend time with him. You know, it costs to be holy. It costs to spend time with Jesus Christ. You know, we got to spend time with him. That I might know him, Paul says. Next thing Paul said, I want to know him not just personally, but I want to know him very powerfully. He says there in verse 10 again, the power of his resurrection. He want to know more about the power of that resurrection. I'm sure we all want to know more about that power of resurrection because, you know, as I preach Sunday, we got a time that we're going to die and we're going through the grave if Jesus Christ don't come back to rapture the church. You know, we all know that, don't we? We got a time that we're going to die. And Paul wanted to know, he did too. Paul knew he was going to go too, lest you know Jesus Christ come back in his lifetime, which according to what his writing said he could. But you know, to think about this, Paul says, you know, that I might know this because you see, I know that I'm going to the grave if he don't come back. And the goal for you and I, and also for Paul, he want to know this power. That same resurrection power that rose Jesus from that grave will rise you and I. Y'all know that? That same resurrection power. And that same power, is it that power of resurrection? You know what? That's the power over sin. You know, so we still among sin right now, and you know we still sin. I hope everybody's saved here tonight. If you're not, you need to be before we leave here. But you know, I still sin. I still sin. But one of these days with that resurrection power, there's going to be power over that sin. I won't sin no more. And that's power over that sin. That's power over the self, because a lot of time I put myself in a situation to sin. And not only that, that's power over Satan and power over the world. This is resurrection power that Paul was talking about. Not just whenever, you know, you're dead in resurrection, but a power right now that Paul was talking about. He want to know that resurrection power, because you cannot live without resurrection power, I can tell you right now. The resurrection power of life, and to know him very passionately, Paul says, passionately, and the fellowship of his suffering, he says. That's very passionately. Now, he's not talking about Calvary suffering, that he might be able to suffer with him on the cross, because you see, no one could suffer with Jesus Christ on the cross. He says no one, you know, would really have the fellowship of his suffering on the cross, because even God the Father turned her back on Jesus Christ, and it says he suffered alone. He suffered alone. But yet Paul says that I might have fellowship with the suffering. What was he talking about? Then nobody can suffer with him on Calvary's cross. We can't bear that burden for him. Nobody could. But Jesus Christ is still suffering today. Oh, not on the cross of Calvary, but he's still suffering. You know how he's suffering? His heart's grieved by the sin of this world, and also by the sin of you and I. We grieve the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ looks down upon this world, and as we narrow it down, he looked down upon our country. You reckon that Jesus Christ is grieved, and still the burden there he's suffering for, as he looked around this country, is founded on God and Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and how far that we are walking away from it. No, we're not walking away from it. We're running away from it. And Jesus Christ, you see, as he looks down, it grieves him, his heart. Don't you know it grieves him to see the homosexuality as it spreads across our country? And you see, that's one of the things that Solomon already made very plain in the Bible. God did. That's one of the reasons he destroyed several cities, the whole nation, because that was so terrible of sin. And then abortion, on and on and on, as we see across our land and our nation. You reckon that Jesus Christ is grieved with our nation? You reckon Jesus Christ is grieved with his church a lot of times? You reckon Jesus Christ is grieved with us tonight, as he looks into your heart, every one of us tonight? You reckon he is grieved a little bit? Do you grieve Jesus Christ? Now, what Paul was talking about here, do the things that breaks his heart break your heart? That I might be or have the fellowship with him suffering. And that is the same thing that breaks your heart, Jesus Christ. You're suffering about the things that's happening today. Does the same thing break his heart? Should break our heart. But you see, we take it so casually this day and time that we're living. So casually. When's the last time that you wept over a lost loved one, or just a lost person? Or when is the last time that we wept over our nation, and you just cried out for God, and you just cried out because of our nation has turned their back on God so fast? And we know what God's got to do for us if we don't repent. When's the last time? Paul says, I want to know the Lord personally and very passionately. Do you? I want to know him so much, very passionately, very permanently. But then he says, you know, the passionately, and also he says, you know, God means so much to me. Preeminently, he says, I want to know him. To be made conformable to his death. Are you conformable to his death? Paul says, I want to die with him that I might live with him. You know the formula of success, sanctified ambition. You'll never know the power of the resurrection until you know what? That you'll be made conformable unto his death. Because there will be no resurrection without a death. Did y'all know that? There won't be no resurrection of your body without a death. There'll be no resurrection. Paul says, to me, yes. Or to me, no. And to Jesus Christ, yes. So the first thing, relationship is more important than accomplishments. But satisfaction in this life may mean that you have aimed too low. You may be satisfied. Verse 12 said, I've already read, not as though I have already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I followed after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ's sake. You know, if you satisfied where you are in Jesus Christ right now, are you satisfied? Paul said he had a purpose when he saved me. You know what? The Lord had a purpose when he saved you. Y'all know that? He had a purpose when he saved you, you and I. Paul says, not that although I have already obtained, neither already perfect. Paul says, I hadn't stopped growing yet. See, I'm not perfect, and he says, I hadn't already obtained. He says, I hadn't stopped growing. Can you imagine now the man that wrote most of the New Testament, and y'all know Paul, and he says, man, I hadn't stopped growing yet. How many years have you been saved, the Lord has saved your soul, and all the work, all the ministry you've done? Have you put yourself in neutral and just begin to coast? You know, that a lot of people does that. A lot of Christians does that. And a lot of times they may retire from their work. And sometime when they retire from their secular job, they retire from worship and they retire from serving the Lord. And they say, well, I've done my part. And they get satisfied with their life. They get satisfied. They say, well, I've done that. I've done this. Let some of the younger ones done it. Look, I've done it for all these years. I've done mine. It's not what you've used to have done or used to do, have done. It's what you're doing now. Paul says, I was young. I was zealous. I was proud. I was a Pharisee. But Philippians 3:7 says, but that which thing was gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. If you're satisfied with you, I'm going to tell you, then Jesus Christ is not satisfied with you. Are you satisfied where you're at in your Christian life? Now, being satisfied, there's two dangers. We say that we're satisfied so many times that we like to measure ourselves with someone else and say, well, I'm just as good, or I'm just as good as that person. I'm just as good as that person. We want to measure ourselves with someone else, you know, that I've just done my part just as good as they are. And the other danger is measure yourself with someone else is, you know, I can't do what they do. I just can't be like her. I like to be, but I can't be, you know. And I try to, you know, people measure themselves with someone else. But you know one thing? You don't have to measure yourself with nobody else. You don't need to be. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as also I follow Christ. I'm following Jesus Christ. You don't have to measure yourself with no one else. Just say, I can't be like them. You don't have to be like them. That's a lot of part that I need myself. Follow like he followed Jesus Christ. Man, I wish I could sing, and I wish I could play like old Robert could. I'm going to tell you, if I could play that piano and that guitar, y'all wouldn't have to beg me. I'd play all the time. I say, I wish would shut up without playing. And if I could sing, you wouldn't have to beg me to sing. I tell you what, I'd sing all the time. I can't sing. Cantor Thomas. Y'all heard me and Thomas last night. Anyway, I can't do that. You know, I wish I had some of these people. Boy, you ought to look at someone else and say, boy, they got all them talents. There's people in our church who's got a lot of talents. And I'd like to have some talents that someone else has got. I like to be able to sing. You know, I call Brother Earl sometime about singing a song, you know, because when I'm preparing my sermon, sometimes two or three songs come to my mind. I don't know why it does this, because Lord knows I can't sing. And Orville, you know, it helped me out. You know, he'll sing some songs. But you know, I don't have to be like everybody. You know, I wish I could preach like a lot of preachers. I would really, really love to preach like a lot of preachers. But I can't do that. I can't sing. I don't have the talent like other people. But you know, that's one thing that I can do. I can love Jesus Christ just as good as you can. I can love Jesus Christ just as good as anybody can sing or play or any other talents they may have. I can love him just as good. You know what? That's all God requires out of us. Just love him. And that's something we can all do. And we don't have to be like anybody else. God don't put us up beside anybody else. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just be yourself and love Jesus. That's what it's all about. Now, he never wants us to be satisfied in this Christian life. Satisfied with Jesus, yes. Satisfied with salvation, yes. But not our present state, because Paul was always moving forward. Always. Every Christian ought to be a growing Christian, no matter what age they are. It don't matter, you know, what your position in the church, deacon, Sunday school, teachers, how many years you've done it, preach, pastor, don't matter. You seek to be better, you seek to be good. We need to keep right on growing, every one of us. You know, the secret of this power now is concentration. Now, we're going into this now, Paul says. Now he's going to tell you about running this race. These Olympic Games ahead. You know, there's a formula for this success. In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. Paul said, I'm thinking, running this race now. There's a mark, there's a goal that I'm going to. This one thing I do, every ounce, every muscle, every inch of my body, I'm going to tell you what, is moving towards that goal. And that goal is Jesus Christ. Consecration is a secret of power, he says, to bring your life into focus of Jesus Christ as you concentrate on him. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Paul says, you look down there and there's Jesus. And you keep your eyes on him. You're running this race now. James 1:18 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But you look towards Jesus Christ. You keep looking to be the powerful in Jesus Christ, and you to be narrow-minded. This is something, you know, that our day and time, you need to be wide-minded, especially in our education system, you know, especially in college, although you ought to be wide-minded. That person's narrow-minded. Well, I'll tell you, how much more narrow-minded could you get with old Paul talking about right here? Narrow-minded to be very intense and interested in Jesus Christ. This one thing I do, that's pretty narrow, isn't it? Paul said, this one thing I do, that's about as narrow as you can get. This one thing I do. You see, if you spread water like it is now all over the river swamps, you know what? All you get is just a boggy swamp. But that same water, if you know what, if you had a power dam built somewhere like the Hoover's Dam and some of these other power dams that's around, man, at the power that you have there because of that water. But if it's not, it's just all over the swamp, just a buggy swamp. That same water could be a power dam, but you see, it's narrowed down. It's narrowed down. That's what God says for all of our focus. We got so many things to do, and all this water spread all over the rivers and the swamp right now. He says, you just narrow your focus down to this power dam where that water comes out in a small place. The power that it has be narrowed down. Look at these lights, these big stadiums where it lights up. It looks like it's daylight. I mean, all there's thousands of people, 100,000 people, a little less of daylight it is when the sun is shining at noonday. all that light is just shines all over the stadium. But you see, if you just narrow that light down, you know what that light would come to if you concentrate that light on down? It becomes that same light could be a laser that would cut through steel. As you just bring that light down, as you narrow that light down, in that small focus of the light, you know what? It'll burn through steel. Paul says, you keep narrowing that water down, you'll have a power dam. If you just keep narrowing that light down, he says, you'll have a strong power that'll cut through steel. This one thing that I do. This one thing, you see, that I do. Concentrate and become a laser for Jesus Christ. And a great dam for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient for me. All things are lawful for me, but all things are edified not. Paul, everything you do, he says, does this really help you? That expedient, the word there would be the same thing, expedition, that you're going on a trip or a journey, and you're getting ready to go. Well, you get ready to go on vacation. Boy, you get ready to go on vacation, all the things you do, you know, you got to pack your bag and do this, that, and everything you got to do. And then somebody be out there doing some things they don't have to do. You don't have to do that. We don't want to do that to get ready. Just come on, let's get ready to go on vacation. You see, everything you do may not get you on your voyage, on your journey, and you may not need to do them. But there's a few things that you need to do if you're going to get your bags packed to go on the journey. That's what he said. All these things that we do in our life. You know, every day we go out of just the life that we live. All these things you don't have to do. It's unnecessary. They're not going to get you any closer to the Lord. Paul said, but this year, one thing that you need to do, you're on a journey. And all these things we do, not necessarily they bad, but they're not really helping anyway to get us there. They're not bringing us to the goal that God has for our life. Now, good things are bad things when they stand in the way of the best things. Good things are bad things when they stand in the way of best things. And we do that a lot. There's nothing wrong with a lot of things we do, but they're not the best things. The ambition that we have, ambition and the plan. If it does not help me to know Jesus Christ better, it's wrong. And I do a lot of things that's wrong. But you see, fourth thing, you're never a failure until you quit. Now, the formula for success, you don't never quit. You're never a failure until you quit growing. Then you quit. No matter how old you are, we got to keep on growing. That race, we must keep on running. Paul talked about this race. A person starts off running this race at the starting line, man, he takes off and outruns everybody else way out there ahead of him, no way that they can catch him, and he just quits running. He just quits. You know what he's going to do? He's going to lose that race. He's not going to win. I don't care how fast he runs. That's what old Paul says, you know. You're never a failure until you quit growing. And a lot of people, it just quit growing. Perfect. I haven't reached that goal yet. I follow after. I pursue. The idea of being determined or termination, Paul says. And while he's in prison, I remember the shape that he's in, bad physical shape, but he's still running. You know what? You could run from your sick bed. You could run from in the nursing home. You could run on how old you are. You know what? You can still run. Brother Westbury, you know what? He's in that nursing home there in Blackshear. You know what? He's still running his race. He's a blessing to me. He's still running his race. I'm telling you, you just need to go talk to him. I tell you, he's still running. And that's what I want to do. You know, church, today we have too many quitters. I used to. We got too many quitters now. But now, do you do it now? I know you used to. They quit. As I say, a lot of times they get it part, they just retire. Or really get ready to process some money or jobs. God gives us to. You know what? God blesses a lot of people and they bring us to the age of retirement and then people retires. Or either they get very prosperous in money and prestige and jobs and business and they grow. And you know, both of them, there's a blessing from God if you don't use it the wrong way. And then they take these blessings. God has brought them to the age of retirement and they retire off of their jobs and you know what? And they maybe they got money and whatever. But you see, and then the very blessing that God gives them, it takes them away from their service of the Lord. How many times and how many people we know has done that? They just quit serving the Lord. You know what happens? They just quit running. They just quit running the race. They just quit all the blessing God gave them, those blessings, then they quit on him. You know, Satan will bind you to the past, but you know Jesus Christ will free you for the future. Do y'all know that? Verse 13 and 14, as I done read, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, not have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul says, my eyes on the goal. I got them there. You know what? You can't run. You see people run. I don't know if anybody ever run at school. You know, they run these relay races or run whatever you do. You can't run looking back over your shoulders, can you? You can't run looking back and look, see where else everybody else is. You know what they train you to do? Look forward. Not looking back, but you said, you know, looking forward. Not looking back or looking over your shoulders. You remember Lot's wife? She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. We got a light pole at the house, and Joyce was taking our car and running our cows back. When I got out, she looked back and turned into a light pole. I said, Lot's wife ain't got nothing on you. She turned into a pillar of salt, and you turned into a light pole. You can't drive looking back, can you? You can't drive, and you can't run a relay race, and you can't serve Jesus Christ looking back. You can't serve Jesus Christ looking back. Paul says, you know, the things he says, you know what, we need to forget about our past guilt. Everybody in here is guilty. Y'all know that? We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Ain't not a person in here that hadn't sinned in the past. And I tell you what, I don't believe anybody in here that sinned and they're not ashamed of it. They're not ashamed of it. Are you ashamed of some of your sins or all your sins, even in the past? Or you feel kind of guilty about them? Paul says, you know what, we need to quit feeling guilty. In this same chapter 3 and 6, it says, concerning zealous persecution of the church, or persecuted the church, touching the righteous, which is the law, blameless. Paul said, man, I tell you, I was after these Christians. I'd put them in jail. I'd give consent to their death. Man, he said, I was doing all these things. Man, I was troublemaker. He said, all these things, though, I asked Lord, forgive me under the blood of God, forgiveness. And he said, you know what? They're not going to haunt me because they're under the blood of Jesus. You see, no matter what you've done, it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And you don't have no right to bring it up. If he don't remember it, you shouldn't remember it. A lot of times we can believe that God forgive us and we don't forgive ourselves. We keep bringing it up. We keep bringing it up. You don't have the right to do that. We need to forget about that past guilt, also the past glory. Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. A lot of things he thought I found gain. What I used to do. But again, I say, it's not what you used to do. I mean, forget about your past, what you used to do. What are you doing today that counts for Jesus Christ? He says, you know what? We need to forget our past grief. You know, Paul says, they've done me wrong many, many times, different people have, but he says, I forgot to forgive them. You see, everybody's not going to love us. Did y'all know that? Everybody's not going to love us. In fact, Luke 6 and 26 said, this brings comfort to me. He says, you know, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Thank you, Lord. Because I thought, sure, when I started preaching, everybody in the world loved me, and I about found out nobody does. But you think everybody's going to love you because you got saved and served the Lord and sacrificed for the Lord? They're not going to love you just because you do that. Woe to the people, you know, it says it speaks well of you. Because, you see, there's some there's some problem with people. You don't want them to be agreeing with you. You want to be on the other side of some people and stand your ground. Past grudges. You know, past grudges. Verse 13, it says, you know, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before me. Just keep on going. You ever heard that statement? You got to keep on keeping on. You got to keep on keeping on. I was reading where there was a man climbing the Swiss Mountains, Alps, where there was snow. And he fell to his death and he died. And they buried him right at the foot of those mountains. And on his tombstone it said, he died climbing. You know, I thought it'd be pretty good to put on my tombstone. He died climbing. You know, that's pretty good. You know, that's what old Paul said. He says, I want to die climbing. Of course, we believe he got his head cut off, but he said, I want to die climbing. Is that what you want to do? Die climbing? Paul says, you know, the form of success is that. And you think about that, what he said for us tonight. That's something we all need to take in. And could I just die climbing? We got us a song for just a moment for a silent prayer. You might want to bow your heads and talk to the Lord for just a second, a few minutes.